I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Planning Program Development and Real Estate Committee. We have an agenda in front of us. However, I would actually like to propose myself an amendment to the agenda just to change the order so that we see the presentation that's up in front of you first before we consider the other questions. Do we have a motion to approve that agenda as amended?
So moved.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, great. We also have minutes to consider, minutes from the last meeting. Do we have a motion for approval of those minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion to approve those minutes also approved. We have two action items for the committee today. One of those items is to, I'm very excited about actually, it's to approve a pilot for a new convenience for our customers, which would allow them to basically do a better job of chaining their trips. They could pick up their groceries at transit stations. We think that if successful, this is also a feature that could help Metro generate more revenue and also reduce the number of trips that people might have to take by other modes, including automobiles. And then we will next hear Stan Wall also present, as he committed to do in September, present to the committee with the results of a review that was conducted of the Transit Infrastructure Investment Fund, generally known as the TIF, and a recommendation for the board on how to proceed. So if Mr. Wall would take it away.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, members of the committee. For our first item this morning, staff is requesting board approval to enter into a license agreement with Peapod by Giant for a pilot program at three metro stations. Peapod approached Metro in February of this year seeking to explore a partnership with Metro that would enable Metro riders to pick up groceries that they have pre-ordered through Peapod. Metro staff worked with Peapod over the past several months to further understand their proposed concept, to identify potential stations for a pilot program, and to screen those stations among Metro staff. The goal of the screening was to address potential concerns regarding maintaining station access, ensuring safety and security, and other potential constraints or issues that might be associated with the program being rolled out. We are proposing a six-month pilot project with Peapod where they would provide grocery pickup 3 days a week. Grocery orders would be stored in an attended locker at each station. The lockers would be emptied every single night, and there would be no overnight food storage at the stations. Additionally, there will be no money exchanged as part of the transactions. Customers will order online and pay online in advance of picking up their groceries at the facilities. Metro will not receive direct revenue from Peapod during this initial pilot period. However, we do expect revenue to be received as a result of advertising associated with the marketing and rollout of this program. The pilot program will allow us to identify potential operational conflicts, gauge customer demand, and receptiveness of the program. The information learned from the pilot will then form a basis for a competitive solicitation should we decide that the concept is viable. The proposed stations for the pilot project are Fort Totten, Glenmont, and Van Dorn Street. These stations were selected by Peapod in consultation with WMATA based on ridership, station configuration, and a goal of seeking stations that span the three jurisdictions. However, we do realize that there are concerns that have been raised as it relates to the Van Dorn Street station. The proposed Peapod pilot project supports two strategic goals. The pilot project will provide regional mobility and connected communities by providing an amenity to transit customers that facilitates their use of transit and reduces the need for additional vehicle trips relating to grocery shopping. Further, the pilot program, if successful, will create a new source of revenue for WMATA and hopefully a bump in ridership with the increased convenience the program provides to transit users. With these benefits in mind, staff is recommending board approval to enter into a license agreement with Giant Peapod for a pilot program. Thank you.
So I think we should probably have some discussion of this, but I'd first entertain a motion for board approval. Does anyone want to make such a motion?
Madam Chair.
Second?
No, actually, that was not. We were.
I'd like to just raise a point, and I'm not a committee member, but I do want to just make a few comments, and then I think we can adjust the motion. First of all, I have to agree with you. This is a long-awaited piece. This has been a discussion around Metro for a long time, and I think it's a great opportunity. While I think we have understood some of the concerns with the Van Doren location, there is an alternative substitute, and that's the Vienna. And so if that is an exception to the motion, I think it will solve the Alexandria problem and concerns. And, yeah. You can't hear me. I love it. I'm not going to comment on your problems. They are multiple. And I think that's it. Okay. And so I would offer that the committee make the alternative option of Vienna in the place of the Van Doren. I understand it's been considered, and it should meet the same requirements.
Correct. The Vienna station was on PPOT's list of stations. Van Doren presented one advantage of just having a single entrance versus two entrances. But by doing a pilot at Vienna will allow us to test that configuration, as a lot of our other stations do have multiple entrances of that nature.
So, Madam Chair, I'd be pleased to make a motion that we allow this pilot to go forward with the substitution of Vienna for the Van Doren location in Virginia.
Second.
Okay. Let's continue. Do we have any further discussion?
Madam Chair, could I ask a question?
Please.
So, Mr. Wall, you said that in this time period, we don't expect this license agreement doesn't have any money coming to us from PPOD. We're all going to learn in the pilot. And I believe you said at the end of the 6 months, if once we've learned what we're going to learn, we may indeed go out for some kind of competitive solicitation. Would it be your anticipation at that point that there would be money flowing directly to WMATA from whoever was successful in that solicitation?
Absolutely. And by doing the pilot, we'll be able to understand what the customer receptiveness is and how much business they're doing to know what to ask for as part of that competitive solicitation. So we do expect it to be competed and that the potential vendors will pay us for the opportunity to provide that service.
Okay. Well, I agree with my colleagues. This is a wonderful solution and an opportunity for us. And I would encourage us to look beyond groceries, too. More and more malls and other places are becoming places where there are lockers and you can order things, not food, and have it come. And I think WMATA could, in fact, potentially be part of that market as well. And additional sources of resource of money are a good thing these days.
Yes.
Yeah, and following up on Mary's comment, will we get the degree of information from Giant as this goes forward that will allow us to evaluate?
Absolutely. Well, that's going to be a requirement of the license agreement for them to provide their volume of business that they're doing from their stations. So, yes, we will have that.
I actually have a question myself. Have we ever surveyed our customers to see what kinds of things they might like to see at Metro stations? You know, other kinds of services, dry cleaning or shoe repair, or maybe they'd like to pick up packages that would have otherwise been delivered, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood.
We have not conducted that type of service, but we do anticipate that this will generate those types of, you know, conversation and feedback. We did have an interest from the United States Postal Service that was looking at a GoPost service that they would pick up packages at the stations. They decided not to move forward. But there is the opportunity to look at that further, should this be successful.
Mr. Wall, can you tell us, is there how would we know the universe of services people might like to either access at a Metro station or that could potentially be offered that we've never thought of? What would the process be by which we would uncover those possibilities? Any thoughts?
Not initially, but we could probably conduct some type of survey and just reach out to folks in terms of either informally through our, you know, our website or blogs and actually find out what the level of interest is, or either more formally through an actual survey where we're collecting data from the stations and riders.
Mr. Giancola and then Ms. Hutchins.
Yeah, you may not have been here at the time,
that's right.
but I think we've had some surveys done of what services people would like, so maybe we need to kind of dust them off, take a look at them, maybe even prepare additional surveys. So I would suggest we do that. I don't see Lynn Bowersox here today, but I know that. Oh, there she is.
So we haven't done
this specific type survey.
We haven't done anything specifically recently.
Yeah.
So just to be specific, might we be able to, since the data already exists, get a small presentation added at our next meeting? Is that possible?
We will add it as a follow-up item and find out what we have and return to the board with the information.
Thank you. Ms. Hutchins?
I think my question's been noted. we've had this quite a bit of a discussion, as well as research that was done, and I think there was a plethora. We probably outlived some of the great ideas.
There might be new ones. Mr. Downs.
It would also probably be profitable to look at other transit systems. I think both New Jersey Transit, which has had laundry and dry cleaning pickup at stations and tried a pharmacy pickup, if I remember. BART has had a station pickup program in place for a number of years, and just learning from their experience about what has worked and didn't work would probably be helpful for us as well.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? If not, I'd like to vote approval of the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion passed.
And I thank you for changing it to Vienna so I can use it.
That's right.
Our second item this morning is to seek board approval for the closure of the Transit Infrastructure Investment Program. Staff is seeking board approval to close the TIF fund and approval to reallocate funds from closed and completed projects. As background on the TIF, the fund was established in 1997 as a means of providing funding to help ensure the completion of the 103-mile system and to finance transit-oriented projects that provide long-term benefits to the authority, that generate revenues to replenish the fund, and to provide a reasonable return on investment of those funds. While there have been a significant number of projects that met those objectives, there's also been a number of projects that went beyond those objectives due to board resolutions that expanded the TIF program beyond those original goals. As one example, $2.5 million of funding was allocated to support a private development project in Columbia Heights, Maryland, through which there were probably some degree of TIF or transit benefits, but it really pushed the limits of what should be done with those types of funds. In September, the board asked staff to provide an update regarding a review of the TIF program, funding, and provide recommendations for going forward. Staff has completed this review and determined that significant funding can be made available to support new projects and initiatives. Within the TIF, there are regional funds that support the entire system and sub-regional funds that are allocated to support projects in Maryland, the District of Columbia, and Virginia. From our review, we've identified $27 million in regional funds that can be released from closed or completed projects. We've also identified approximately $2.7 million in sub-regional funds that can be released from those projects and allocated to other projects within those jurisdictions. Through today's board action, we are seeking only to release the $27 million of regional funds to support the capital improvement program. The remaining sub-regional funds will be made available for allocation for sub-regional projects within the respective jurisdictions. Building on this base of existing available funds, we expect to realize an additional $35 million in existing revenue from current projects, along with an additional $75 million in revenue from new projects. In total, this represents $137 million of funding that, through today's proposed action, can be made available and flow directly into the CIP to support WMATA's strategic and financial objectives. The proposed closure of the TIF directly supports Metro's strategic plan by ensuring financial stability and investment in our assets. The closure of the fund will make significant additional funding available for the CIP and to support Metro 2025. With these benefits in mind, staff is recommending that the board approve the closure of the TIF and reallocation of funds from the completed and closed projects. Thank you.
I'd entertain a motion on approval. We'll have questions after the motion's on the table. Would anyone like to move approval of this?
So moved.
Second? Okay, let's have some discussion. Mr. Bulger.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Could you explain, Stan, on the funding summary, what your expectation is for 10-year expected revenue from existing projects and 10-year expected revenue from new projects, what that would entail?
The existing projects are joint development projects that were initiated after 1997 that are currently in production and generating revenue today. So all of the revenue from those projects will now go to the CIP. The new revenue is from projects that are currently either in solicitation, negotiation, or pre-development right now that then will flow into the TIF as well going forward over the next 10-year period.
So the latter is a projection based on the pipeline of projects that you're working on.
That's correct.
At this point.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Downs?
No, it's clear. Do I remember that part of this fund has been used as a offset to operating subsidy in the past?
It has been done so in the past, yes.
Can you tell us when that was and how much it was?
It was from 2005 through 2012, and it was a total of $14 million over the course of that period.
So theoretically, this could be used in part as a transfer to operating subsidy for this coming year's budget?
It could be, but that would require further board action to reprogram those funds from capital operating.
Okay. I'd say that I support the, in effect, the elimination of this fund. It was, I'm not going to call it a slush fund, it was set up to give jurisdictions more flexibility about use of these funds for, in effect, non-metro transportation purposes. And it has served that purpose, I think, reasonably well, but a lack of uniformity about capital management and capital accounting, a lack of the application of authority standards to the capital management process itself has left us, I think, in the uncomfortable position of setting up a set of funded projects that exist outside of our normal uniform capital accounting and management processes. And I believe that our current status about managing capital in a uniform way that is completely transparent ultimately requires the integration of this fund into our regular capital management processes. So with that, I would support the elimination of the fund.
Yes, Mr. Hill?
I have a different take on this. I think this, you know, the TIF has been very valuable to all of the jurisdictions. However, I would suggest not eliminating the fund entirely, but that for the very reasons that Mr. Downs has articulated, I think it probably needs further study in terms of how do we move forward in terms of the remaining funds that will be left and developing some criteria so that we can ultimately decide we want to continue down this road with this a fund of this type and or, as you know, if we do indeed at some point conclude to eliminate it, then the suggestion that it perhaps could roll over to operating, you know, certainly makes sense. The other point I want to stress is with regards to the Old Town Bus Barn Garage, that's part of this funding. I would urge that and encourage staff to move forward expeditiously with this project, and know one of the hang-ups is debating in terms of the remediation that needs to take place at the site and whether WMATA takes care of the remediation, which will extend the development processing time, proposed development processing time, and or whether the developer does the remediation. My suggestion would be that let the developer do the remediation. That expedites it. It helps us move this project along in a timely manner. Thank you.
Yes.
The concern that I have is less about how we go from here to where you're proposing than it is about how we move forward from that. So from a sort of governance point of view and from an understanding of the consequences of the deals that we make, it seems to me important that we keep track of this revenue in our capital plan in a very transparent manner. It's the only way the board is going to know whether we're getting the value that we expected. Not that anybody's breaking contracts, but it does give us a way to go back and sort of look at what's actually delivering off of these projects. And so I want to make sure that in the CIP, this shows as a separate revenue stream. It's not just folded in to other things. I do support doing away with this, even as I look at the list, and I know that Arlington has taken great advantage of these dollars as small increments in very large projects, and I think that that's really an important thing to say. I mean, the Roslyn Station access improvements, you know, it's $800,000 of about a $40 million project. So it wasn't a make or break, but it was nice to have that little bit of money that we could put on the table, along with a lot of other money that we put on the table. So I think we need to take care, as I have talked to people about this, this was a way for jurisdictions to do a small amount of leveraging on something that might not have been at the top of WMATA's list of capital things that needed to be done, but that, in fact, in the case, again, I'm speaking of Arlington, impacted customers' use of the system in a positive manner. And if we were going to do any criteria, that would be the criteria I would say. But I from Arlington's point of view, we are comfortable with what is recommended here, with it going away, as long as we have a way to transparently track what revenue is being thrown off of the various land deals that had been feeding in.
Point of information before I go to Ms. Hutchins and Mr. Downey, could you move the slides back to the original purpose of the fund? And one of the things that might be helpful to know as we have this discussion, and maybe Mr. Walls can come back to it, is what happens with these objectives? I think as a point of information, Ms. Hines raised the issue that different criteria might be used if it's moved back into the capital fund that might disadvantage localities in terms of small investments. So it might have to do with the magnitude of what the jurisdictions might be able to control, the magnitude of the project and the investment relative to the overall transaction. But let me go on to Ms. Hutchins.
Thank you. I think the same concerns are there in that moving forward, we would still be able to have those funds targeted in the manner that we think that it helps from the localities of advantage of making the project better, and that's not included there. So how to and I guess maybe a timing piece as we move forward to set the criteria that is clear for us all, and just be able to delineate it in a way that it can readily be tracked. I the comment that was made about the operating, I think we don't really, it serves its purpose, but it isn't the real purpose that's there, because it's always going to be a delta. And so you've got to address those issues in a different manner. But I think that the purpose here is to try and ensure that it provides the return investment to the localities viewpoint as to how this project moves forward and enhances it comprehensively.
Okay. Mr. Downey?
Yeah, I would support doing this. I think it deals with an issue that I've raised a lot of times. Transit is very good at value creation, never very good at value capture, and this is really an opportunity to do that. I want to understand a little better going forward the premise of funding our capital improvement program, which in fact is our highest priority needs for the continuation of the system, I think is a desirable approach. Do I understand that to be that this would be a funding source for the capital improvement program, not an earmark to
Yes.
individual projects?
Yes.
So an individual project would have to be adopted into the CIP, and this would be one of the ways that the CIP is funded, not that particular
Correct.
Project.
That's the proposal.
Okay. I don't understand. I think it gets it to what are the important needs of the system, especially for those things that are generated out of the revenues of the system as a whole, as opposed to local projects. Thank you.
Yes. Mr. Wall, I just have a question on your chart that has entitled funding summary. And you first line across is currently available regional TIF funding, $27 million. I assume that money is coming from the jurisdictions?
It came from joint development projects
joint
over
development
the past,
projects?
Since 1997, the funds that have been accumulated.
And do you have information that would provide an accounting as to where that money came from by jurisdiction and by year?
It would take a while, but we could probably deduce the exact source of those dollars. So.
It's not money from the jurisdiction. It's rentals we receive.
Right, but rentals received, but I assume you can identify where those developers are by jurisdiction.
Correct, and there is some degree of risk at looking at that from that type of analysis, and that the funds come in different ways, and that there are some projects where there was a capital lease payment. We received one payment up front, and those funds were spent on a particular set of programs early on. There's other funds that are received on an annual basis from certain projects, and those were allocated as they came in. So it's difficult to carve out the jurisdictional share of each individual line item project because it varies. All the funds flow into the pool, then they were sub-allocated into those different projects. So I think the question you're probably asking is, of the projects being canceled, is there a different proportion of Virginia funds in the project versus Maryland versus D.C.? And that's a difficult analysis and might not get to that particular answer.
Well, why don't you try the best you can to give us that kind of analysis for that first line, the currently available, the $27 million. Now, I take it that on the second line, the 10-year funds expected, is that also something that you can break down, or is that too ephemeral to be able to break down by developer and jurisdiction at this point?
We can, but once again, it doesn't create a balanced view, because of the projects that are active today, some of the projects we receive the funds early on, and those are done. And some of the ongoing projects might be in different jurisdictions, so it doesn't reflect a balanced view of where the funds are coming from across the jurisdictions.
Right.
But we can.
I request that you could produce that and then put whatever notes you feel in it as to what caution we should have about using the data. But I think it'd be good to get the data as a starting point.
Point of information, could you tell us what the objective is of having the data? How would that change our decision?
I think I'd like to understand, I think the jurisdictions, at least my jurisdictions, would like to understand where the money came from what source, and then to compare it with what kind of projects it's been used for to understand really the efficiency or the efficacy of the program to see if it's worked in an equitable manner to date and how that would affect how it would be used in the future.
Well, I mean, I can tell you just without looking that the places that have the highest density and the most intense land use will have thrown off more value than the places that are lower. So, that might be an interesting way to incentivize jurisdictions to change their land uses. So to that extent, that might be an interesting approach, but I don't know if that's what you're getting at.
Well, let's get the data, and then we can decide what use any of us can do with it.
Okay, so we have Mr. Giancola and then Mr. Downs and then...
Yeah. Again, the proposal is we're trying to get rid of this program. So, and so that's one factor to consider here. It would be useful information if Mr. Goldman wants it, but to me, we're getting rid of the program. Secondly, look at all the regional projects here. Regional, how do you break out that as far as where the money goes? You know, it just seems to me an exercise of futility at this point.
Thank you. Mr. Downs and then Ms. Hines.
It would be helpful to understand why the staff brought this to the board now. Is it related to, for instance, more flexibility in capital funding to capture a revenue source going forward about our long-term capital needs? Is it a feeling that we have not maximized the investment, or is it maybe that this doesn't fit into our capital control systems process now?
Yeah. Well, we had made a commitment 3 months ago to report to the board what our recommendations were, so this, we're living up to our commitment. In the review of the program and things that Stan mentioned, sometimes it was used really clearly with the objective, sometimes not, and looking at the capital needs that this authority faces, I think that it's suboptimal utilization of capital funds to have a separate set-aside pot, if you will. It should go into, should be another revenue flow into the capital program. We have a prioritization process for the capital program. The board approves the capital program, you know, line by line. So there's an opportunity where there is a worthwhile project of the type which this fund has been used for to incorporate in the overall capital program.
Did we establish a scoring mechanism based on the intent, those three bullets, long-term benefits to the authorities, sufficient revenue to replenish the revolving fund and provide a reasonable rate of return on the investment? Do we have a scoring mechanism that can report on the outcome looking backwards on these investments?
As each of the projects were approved by the board in previous action, there was not scoring of those projects when the projects were approved. We could try to compile a retroactive look at did they realize, but it'd
in
be
other
almost
words,
impossible.
In other words, we just kind of said, Godspeed,
yes.
Good luck to you.
Okay.
That's another reason to eliminate the fund.
Ms. Hines, and then Mr. Costa, and then I'd like to have a word.
So I think I was one of the people who said, bring this back. I don't understand this. What are we trying to do here? What is this program? And so I first want to say thank you. You probably knew you were walking into these kinds of questions. But when I look at what was done, and when I think about the fact that we are a regional authority with regional responsibility, and certainly, as Harriet said, you know, those of us who are the interjurisdictions who developed first, a lot of this value got thrown off in our jurisdictions. It didn't all come back here. I mean, there's parking garages in Huntington and White Flint and buying CNG buses, which I'm sure went everywhere, and supporting the Smart Trip program, something we all needed. And I think that this is an opportunity for us to think regionally again, and that as the edges now of our 120-some-mile system develop, that some of those dollars might flow back to help in the core is a very appropriate way to think about these dollars being used. At the same time, I think you're hearing a small amount of anxiety, partially from our staffs, about that this was a little pot of money that they could leverage sometimes to do something. But I think very much what you said, Mr. Sarles, which is, you know, we go through that CIP with a very close eye. We're in the midst of negotiating a new CFA. If there are principles around small amounts of leveraging that we would like collectively to see preserved, the CFA is the place to have that conversation and to create those rules and try it out, just like we've tried out things in the last two CFAs. But I think to drive ourselves crazy about value capture in a particular place, I mean, our jurisdictions are doing value capture. Those buildings go in, we get more tax revenue. I mean, we are already getting a lot. No. Thank you, no. Thank you, no. But anyway, I think this was partly, at least I asked this question, to try to understand how this fit with all the other stuff that we're doing with our whole focus on momentum, our need to invest in the core. How did this actually work? And I am fairly well convinced that we can put in a small amount of protections and these other things that we're doing, but remove this as a set-aside kind of fund sort of thing and address it otherwise. So I just thought I would offer that.
Mr. Costa.
Morning. My question is pretty narrow. I think I understand my colleague's discussion about how we're choosing projects to return and where that resides. My question is a little bit different. It seems that the fund was created to create a revolving fund. If we disestablish this fund, do we lose that part of that of the program structure? Does that get lost?
I would say yes, that's what the fund was created to do in 1997. There were three or four board actions since that time that essentially removed that requirement for return on investment. So that's part of the issue.
That's a different issue. That's board action.
I think that as part of the discussions on the CIP process and prioritization and CFA negotiations is where there could be a factor added that reflects, does this particular project provide a return on investment to the system and could be considered as part of those discussions.
So almost a fenced set of projects that have those attributes.
Not a fenced set, but just adding that to the consideration and discussion as part of negotiating the CIP and CFA.
And the CFA gets negotiated every...
6 years.
That's to me, a little bit of a concern that we'd have a bite at the apple now, and then we'd have another bite in 6 years. So one of the things I appreciate you're looking at these issues about what was originally intended by this. And I also understand that the history of the use of these funds would not meet the current standards of the board, I will put it that way, and that the dollar amounts are probably larger than would most people might think would be necessary for the small, highly leveraged projects that have been helpful around particular joint development opportunities. So I'm understanding that. What I'm not quite clear on is what is the right mechanism? What is the right way? Is it to move the majority of the revenues out of this fund but allow it to continue to exist with criteria for how the funds will be used? Or is it to eliminate it and use the CFA as the mechanism to experiment with how we want to provide those opportunities? And I'm inclined to ask to propose a motion myself to table this vote until the next meeting and get a chance to get some answers to some of those questions. But I'd be happy to also entertain any further discussion. Mr. Sorrells?
Yeah, I'd like to clarify one thing. Actually, the buy at the apple comes every year. What was suggested was in the CFA there'd be some criteria similar to that, and that's being negotiated. But the actual inclusion of a project is every year in the capital program, in the capital budget. So it's a frequent bite at the apple, if you will. And frankly, the board can take an action in the future to change criteria at any time it wants if it feels things are not going as they think it should be.
Any other discussion? Well, let's just see. We have a motion on the table. I would move to amend that motion to table for 1 month of the vote. All in favor of that motion? Please.
I think
I need a second.
Okay. Motion. A second. If we're going to defer
until next month, which I think it's probably the right thing to do for the board to have time, I would appreciate it if the staff could bring back to the board a set of actions that they think would help manage this in a different way than it is currently being managed. If we do choose to keep the fund, how we could improve this process. going forward as part of that decision-making at the next board meeting. I think it would be helpful to know if the option is to retain the fund, what we should be doing to improve the management of the decisions, the objectives,
and if the staff would recommend a cap.
The measurement of the capital in a uniform way with the rest of our capital commitments.
Yes, sir. Mr. Goldman?
Yes. I mean, in that connection, if we're going to be considering those options, I would hope we would be able to get the accounting of the revenue that I've requested sufficiently in advance of that next meeting so we can assess it and get some, at least from my point, we get some contribution from the jurisdictions as to what it means and what that means to them.
And thank may you. I ask if it would be acceptable? I know how meticulous the accounting might have to be to figure this out. If we could get sort of an order of magnitude sense as opposed to, you know, a last dollar and cent calculation, would that satisfy your okay, thank you. Any other?
I would just say that each jurisdiction gets a notice of what money they have in the fund every year. Each jurisdiction chooses specifically where they want that money spent within their jurisdiction and on what projects. So I don't mind having us kind of recreate this, but I would suggest that as much information exists at the jurisdiction level as exists here, and I think it could be a profitable discussion to have about how your jurisdiction has accounted for and allocated the funds by project over the years.
Mr. Boulder?
Madam Chairman, just a clarification. You know, it's a very good discussion. So we got this big CIP with lines and lines and codes and so help me understand that. Is there a section that says joint development in the CIP, or is it to our, do we have to assume that we have to go through every capital project and figure out whether it's a joint development project or a semi-joint development project?
Sorry,
well, you know how big this CIP is.
Know.
It's really hard to,
and,
you know.
I'm saying we could identify it for you, which ones are joint development projects.
But particularly, Stan, on the chart that I was talking about before, where you've got 10-year expected revenues, $35 million, 10 years expected revenues, and new projects, $75 million. You know, some kind of a designation on the CIP projects if we go in that direction, Madam Chairman. So we could identify and know which ones are we're talking about going forward, because I'll be honest with you, it's going to be hard for the board or personally to go through the CIP and find out which ones are, you know, smart growth projects or development projects or with revenue spinoff. Maybe Mary knows them all, but I don't.
I'm frowning because the joint development projects are not necessarily in the CIP. I mean, we're extracting value from the joint development project. They're usually replacing the facility for us, and then they're throwing money off in some manner. And this is about where does the money show up? So are you asking for
projects that have joint development
fund investments?
Connections to spin-off revenue in the CIP, like a new entrance to a station or a new station in Alexandria. I mean, you know.
So Tom, I'm still confused. So let's take the Roslyn Elevator project, which is over. It used a little bit of this money, and it has a positive effect on ridership and other kinds of things, so it's creating more value for Metro. It used $800,000 of this joint development funding stream. So would you have wanted in the CIP for there to be a star next to that project that says it's using joint development revenue in, you know, like 0.1 of 100th or whatever it was? Of the project cost.
Let me, subject to the experts' correcting me. We have a sources of funds, various
right.
sources of funds going to the capital program. We don't, except if it's federal, we don't identify which source goes to which in the capital program, which individual project. What we do is take all the funds, except for federal, we have to identify those, right? So what we're saying here is when we're identifying the capital program and all the projects in it, if we did away with this fund, we could identify in there, after we've gone through the prioritization process and taken all the factors into consideration, and if there are contributions in the new CIP that go to helping advance a joint development project, we would identify that for you, so you would know it. The only thing we won't be able to do is say, taking money from, you know, the rent that came on this building, and it's going into this, but we'll can tell you how much money is coming in bulk from, you know, the joint development projects of the past, so you understand magnitude, but you just can't connect it up. Okay. The other part, in trying to clarify Mike's request, if we're talking order of magnitude dollars, rough, we probably can get that pretty quick. I really would prefer not to tie up our accountants right now on doing a very precise, you know, analysis of that. So
agreed.
If that's acceptable, you know.
Yes. I think Mr. Goldman agreed to that, that it could be okay for order as an order of magnitude.
I just want to be
clear. What are we going to get? I'm trying to.
What do you think the time frame is?
It'll probably be 2 to 3 weeks, so probably toward the end of the year or right at the beginning of next year.
Now, the other thing I want to clarify is I'm hearing two different tracks here. One is the proposal, and the other is to maintain some form of the existing program. Is that what I'm hearing? And if that's the case, what we will come back with is how it would work with the proposal in more detail and how it would work, hearing what the chair was suggesting, under some capped program with certain criteria, if that's what the committee wants. I just need clarity on that so we don't have staff spinning.
I would say that what I gathered from the discussion is that, in general, there's an agreement that how the money has been spent in the past has been, in some cases, very valuable, in some cases, questionable, given the original objectives of the program, that the revenues that are coming into the program in the future are considerable, and that they would valuably offset the capital asks from the jurisdictions, and that's also desirable. However, it's not clear how these smaller projects that might be access-related would fare in the overall competition for capital funds, and there's some interest in exploring perhaps a capped, smaller version of this fund that would allow projects to be determined by jurisdictions, you know, meeting the original criteria or criteria that we established, so much more with many more management controls over how those funds are selected, and we'd like to see what Stan would suggest in terms of meeting those objectives. So with that,
Madam Chair, can I
yes.
just ask one clarifying thing. So you said that from your point of view, these were access related.
Not all access.
Okay.
But a couple of projects that were examples, the elevators are access related.
That absolutely. But we got a lot of parking garages. We got a lot of other things that I would, which are different than station entrances or to my mind. But I just wanted to make sure that if access related, which isn't a term that's here, is a criteria that there's an agreement on that. I mean, what the original thing says was long-term benefits to the authority. So
I don't think my intention was not to limit or change the criteria,
okay.
although that might be a topic for conversation later if we decide to keep some part of this fund. But anyway, that's – so we have a motion on the table. An amendment to the original motion, which I believe we must vote on first. All those in favor of tabling this vote for 1 month, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, I believe that motion carries. And we'll, we We can go back to the main motion, but the main motion would be to approve the existing. Now we'll vote on the main motion. Thank you. And you could, I'll sit next to you every time you can coach me. Let's have a vote then on the main motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, the motion carries. And I think that might be the end of our agenda. All right, thank you very much. Our committee is adjourned.